Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh, and I'm the host of Music Makes Sense, the podcast that talks about why music is easy and why life is hard.
Okay, let's talk about that. I don't understand. Yeah. It's about music, but let's delve deeper into that.
So pretty much, I'm a musician myself, and what I've learned is I'm kind of a messed up person, just mentally.
Mood.
And I notice a lot of musicians that I know, they also are kind of messed up mentally. Mm. And I really wanted to, you know, mix my passion of, like, being an armchair therapist and my love of music, and kind of blend those two and bring musicians on and talk about how they can sit down and write a song for 4 hours and not break concentration, but their laundry's piled up, their relationships are a mess, their phone calls, their screen time is at 14 hours a day.
Right.
You know, and just really kind of break down that stuff and also like talk about how you can work through that stuff and their like how just because you do struggle with that stuff, it doesn't neglect the fact that your art is any more valid than anyone else.
Right. Interesting. What a unique perspective.
Yeah.
And so, how do you find your guests?
So, recently, it's a very new project. I got funded by the StoryHive TELUS project.
Yeah, very cool.
So, recently, the guests I picked were just musicians and people of the industry that I knew. I had Jerry Neville on. I seen some pictures with you. I'm sure you're friends with him.
Yeah, Jerry's awesome.
Our homie.
Yeah,
we love Jerry.
Big shout out.
God.
He's the voice of Fort McMurray.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the first on my list. He is the voice of my childhood. Every Oil Baron's game I went to.
That's what we're saying. Know? Yeah.
So I had him on and we talked about like what it means to be a young person in this industry because he helps the youth and he helps those people out and he really gives them a hands-on experience on what this means to work. Like work these 18-hour days and get it done.
Yeah.
And I had my friend Brandon on. I'm in a band with him, and he's started his own independent business, his audio business, like 5 years ago. Mm. And we just talked about like shifting from being an employee from somewhere to being an entrepreneur and really like making your own life happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just people like that, and next season I'm really focusing on, really honing in on Fort McMurray even more, and anyone really who's interested, I put out a scout call, and I have about 20 names I'm filtering down, and yeah.
Nice. So, like, you got the StoryHive grant, so they're on TELUS Oculus now?
So you can catch it on TELUS Optic.
Optic, that's what it's called.
TELUS Optic, or you can go on to this TELUS... the StoryHive YouTube page and search for Music Makes Sense. The first two episodes are up and the rest of the season will be up at the end of May.
Nice. And so now that those episodes have been filmed and you're putting them up, you're doing a new season. So is that through TELUS again? Or are you doing it independently? How does this work now?
So I did get the grant again for season two. So I'm going to be doing...
I didn't even know you could apply for another season.
Yeah.
Whoa, hey. What's up, TELUS? Shout out, Roger.
We'll be putting in another one soon too.
Oh, I mean, actually, so here, funny story about like being a musician and like the anxiety that comes with that.
Yeah.
I applied for it back in January, and of course, it's all a lengthy process because I mean they're doing like 70, 80 podcasts, so you got to whittle it down.
Yeah.
And since I knew the release date, I was like honed in on refreshing the page for like 3 days. Like 12 hours a day, just like every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just refresh the page. And the night before we were supposed to get the announcement, I refreshed the page and it said denied. So I guess, in my head, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I didn't get it. So I'm like, hey, you know, world's not ending. Yeah. Whatever, we can, you know, I can do it independent. Yeah. I have all the gear. I know how to do this stuff. Right. So then I start like typing up a big long message to the my manager and the person who was like helping me out with the project.
Yeah.
And I send this big long like 2-paragraph message, and like in the morning she's like, "Can I call you?" And I'm like, okay. So I pick up the phone and like she calls me from BC, and I'm just like, okay. So yeah, I don't get it. And she's like, no, just you got it.
Yeah.
It's okay. Stop looking at stuff you're not supposed to be looking at before it updates. It's okay.
Yeah, oh, so nice.
So, you know, that was just a big, big relief. And in those, like, 4 hours, I went from crafting an entire independent project, what I'm going to do for the next, like, 2 years, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then 4 hours later, being like, oh, okay, music makes sense. I can just do it again. $12,000. Easy enough.
Yeah.
I can make it happen.
That's awesome.
So I guess to circle back to the question, I'm doing Music Makes Sense, but I'm also planning on doing my own independent thing.
Cool.
Not exactly sure what that's going to be yet. Maybe it'll just be more of, you know, me talking to the camera. And I really want to learn how to be a really good, like, host. Hmm. And a really good, like, just person of interest.
Yeah.
And no better way to do that is on a podcast.
Nice. So how did you get the idea of doing the podcast?
Honestly, it was through COVID. I fell in love with podcasts. I love comedy, and so I fell in love with, like, first started with Joe Rogan, and then it broke out from there, and then it went to the more the niche people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, went from there, and I realized I was listening to like 14, 15 hours of podcasts through work, through listening through, like, driving forklift at home. Like, podcasts were always on, but yeah, I never thought to do one. And then I was watching TV one day with my mom, and then whoop, Story Hive comes up. Hey, are you Alberta, BC? Are you a voice? Do you want, you know, a music grant or a grant to do podcasts? And I'm like, hey, that's a great way to, you know, get into it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, cool. Yeah, it was really a beck and call, I guess.
Yeah, that's really interesting how you fell into that.
Yeah.
Now, before we started filming, you said, like, you were in a band.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of band were you in?
The first band I was in, which moved me to Edmonton, we coined ourselves as funk metal. Okay. Psychedelic funk metal. So we started off as like a Grateful Dead influenced, like 60s hippie music, and then we blended more into like 70s hard rock, and then after I left the band, it formed into like more nu metal groove, real intense stuff. Hmm. Like, if you know, the best way I can kind of put it is, like, if you know Mike Patton from, I know him from Mr. Bungle, but he's more known from a different band. But it's, like, Mr. Bungle mixed with Sepultura, mixed with, like, the Moody Blues. Real, real, real crafty stuff. But now the band I'm in is kind of more a mix of, like, Elliot Smith mixed with Hey Rosetta, mixed with a little bit of, like, Bare Naked Ladies. So, like, the guy I'm in a band with, Brandon Bryson, I've seen him, I met him through the band I was in before, which was named Us. Still is Us. Shout out Us. You can catch him on Instagram, us.yeg. Hey, Braden, what's up, dude? I met him through Braden, and we formed a band. He's one of the best songwriters I've ever met. And so I just feel like I'm just so privileged that I get to just hang out with him, learn how to write songs, learn how to be a great person, and learn how to, like just grow as a person, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
So with all of those bands that you just listed off,
yeah,
and with the fact that you listen to so much podcasts, mm-hmm, how are you sneaking in music listening time into this equation?
That's actually, it's insane. I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't listen to
simple answer, I don't.
I don't. Yeah. It's today I squeezed it in by before I came here I woke up. Well, I just listened to 2 hours of music because I took the bus here. So I took the bus, and that whole journey took about an hour and a half, so I just crammed about an hour and a half of music in, and that was just all my liked songs. I probably could have been more, like you said, you know, there's 1,000 things we could do.
Yeah.
So I could have probably put on an album and been a little more attentive and done that stuff, but you know, I just threw on the music and it played.
Okay.
How do you listen to a lot of music?
Oh.
So much music.
You have no idea.
So much music. We sit on my back deck with two very amazing speakers and just listen to music for hours. It's a good time.
Yeah, like, big shout out to the amazing speakers.
Like, yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of music, a lot of concerts, a lot of festivals. Mm-hmm. Like, music is in the car. Music for me is a big, big, big thing. So I cram it in. But like yourself, I used to look at lots of podcasts. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had to break up my time.
Yes.
In regards to, like, okay, this time of the day, I'm going to do this activity, and I can listen to a podcast, and this activity, that's more music-based. So
it's funny, because you do music, he does podcasts, and once you get into it professionally, you don't listen to music anymore, and he doesn't watch podcasts.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
It's your job. You don't want to do your job on your time off.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. I found myself, even with podcasts, I find myself now being like, that cut wasn't exactly how I would do it. You know, that angle's a little bit, oh, that shot's a little overexposed. You know, I'm getting technical about it instead of just like, oh, it's a podcast. It's a guest, you know, just listen to
it. Yeah, that's exactly it. So yeah, editing for me was a weird thing. That's why I try not to do it anymore.
That's fun.
Looking, you'll have this perspective. Tanner told me this and I hated that he told it to me. So now I'm gonna ruin your life.
Oh no.
So, day to day, you live your life like this, having a conversation with an individual. Mm-hmm. Most people don't have the opportunity to watch that conversation from that perspective.
It's clunky.
And so when you're looking at it and editing and you're just like looking at your life from a different perspective, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, man.
It is. not gonna lie, it brought me a little bit of anxiety when I did it the first couple times.
Yeah.
And it had to snap out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I was just like, oh wow, I'm like traveling backwards in time, and like I'm like looking at the conversation differently because like I wasn't reading the body language of myself or the other person the way that like, oh, it was weird. And because we've done so many, jeez.
And when I would clip videos for the podcast, I had to listen to my own voice so much that now I can like I can hear both. Like, when I listen to my own voice, it's not weird anymore, mm-hmm. and that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't like knowing what my voice sounds like to other people, you know?
It's never as bassy as resonant. It's always up here, always a lot more nasally than you want it to be.
Yeah, like, oh, this is what people have to hear? Gross.
I think that's what a lot of people struggled with, like, in the studios before, like, everyone had a phone in their pocket and they could record anything all the time, is they, you know, you play a show live on stage, you got big amps behind you, you have a big PA in front of you, you're just going. You're not actually really having a good representation of what's going on. Right. But then you go into the studio, everything is under a microscope, it's all surgical. You finally hear, oh, I'm always constantly flat on that note, oh, I'm always sharp on this note, oh, my cadence is really bad on this part. It really breaks it down, and I think a lot of people, like, they go in the studio and they have, like, that they freeze up because they realize, oh no, I don't like, I can hear my mouth noises.
Oh wow. I've never been in, like, I'm not a musician, I would have never thought about that. That's terrifying. Yeah, because, like you said, you described that perfectly. That would be an awkward place to go into if you've never been into the studio before.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume most artists, why would you start in the studio environment? You have to like build your way up to that.
It's so funny because it's flipped. About 20, 30 years ago, it was so easy to get five people in a room and start making some music and just going out and getting a bar gig and making it happen that way.
Yeah.
But in my generation coming up, I started off on a MacBook, where on like a little Focusrite, and like I learned music through YouTube. So like my musical career started on like digitally by myself, isolated.
Oh.
So it's I think I'm fortunate, but also there's pros and cons to all of it.
Yeah.
The pro of it is I've always looked at myself through under that microscope. Mm. So I've progressed very fast. Because I would, when I was learning, I would learn the song off YouTube, record myself, hear myself play that song, realize, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Do it again until it's not terrible, and then, you know, constantly improve that way.
Right.
And I've worked with some musicians who didn't do that, and they kind of did it the more traditional way of just like, hey, I'm doing what feels good, this sounds good. Mm-hmm. And then once we did get in the studio, it was a lot of work, and I had to like do a lot of coaching, which I like doing. I like teaching people, and I like doing that stuff. Yeah. But I noticed there was a fundamental difference in perspective on how they thought about music and how they treated music. And yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I'm envious of people and like that perspective, because it's a lot easier to just close your eyes and listen to the music and just enjoy the experience, rather than being like, oh yeah, that tambourine is right there, panned about 37 cents to the right. I hear an EQ bump at 2K and a, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I immediately goes to.
Yeah, listen, you'd love Hammer.
Yeah, yeah, we got a friend we got to introduce you to. But anyways, Tanner tapped his phone. That means he's ready with his questions for our segment, The Max City Minute, brought to you by Carrie at Patchouli Rose. Tanner, take it away.
Question number one, what is your favorite song to get you pumped up?
I used to have Van Halen's Jump as my alarm.
Great. Question number two, if you could own any instrument, what would it be?
Purely for monetary value, that $2 million Strat that got sold, that was signed by everyone.
Question number three, if you could make a perfect show, who would the four bands or artists you would pick, and where would you see them?
I would see, okay, Madison Square Garden is the venue. Sorry, is this just one bill, all four bands?
Yep.
Okay, Madison Square Garden. I would see Wolfpack headline. Steely Dan would open. Bernard Purdy would be the guest. And Stevie Ray Vaughan would be encore.
Question number four. What is one dream vacation spot you have?
Non-tropical New York City, tropical Bora Bora.
And your final question, if you could describe yourself as one breakfast meal, what would that be?
Those little Eggo four like French toast things that have like the cinnamon in them.
Yeah, and then you rip them and dip them. Yeah,
nice. Those ones. Yeah,
those have been your five questions.
Nice questions, bro.
Thank you.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah, they are when we get them.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So, we didn't ask you the question that we always ask people who say they're born and raised in Fort McMurray. Mm-hmm. What high school did you go to?
Westwood.
Oh, boo.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
What? Nah, shout out Dan Talk. Shout out Dan Talk, Dan Gillies. They were monumental for my music career.
Dan Talk was at Westwood?
Yeah, he was the principal for a while. I don't know how long he was there. I was grade 10. He was the principal and guitar teacher.
He probably said that in one of the episodes that we filmed with him, but I forgot. So, yeah, I did. Yeah, that's cool. No, Westwood, I'm Burke. He's Comp. So,
yeah. We got to get a Frank Spragans person in here, and then
we did a whole interview at Frank Spragans. Nice. Actually, like we've been in a few of the high schools now with the kids. We've been to Merck a bunch because of Santa's Anonymous and a bunch of other things they do there. Dan Talk got us to come into Frank Spragans because he's new principal there. Frank, thank you. And then we've done a bunch of stuff with Holy Trinity because of their art program and different plays and stuff. And yeah, we're big on trying to support like whatever's going on in the community. So high schools is part of that. So that's where you fell in love with music then?
That was when I kind of started taking it a little more seriously. It originally started in like 8th grade.
Okay.
Excuse me. excuse me again. Oh my geez, my breakfast is coming up.
Yeah, no worries.
In 8th grade, I seen everyone around me like play a lot of video games, start doing teenage stuff.
Yeah.
And I wasn't exactly there yet. I wasn't exactly interested in that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I figured like, hey, I've heard that if you just put your mind to something and if you really want something, you can kind of do it.
Yeah.
However casual, however serious you want to pursue it, if you want to do it an hour a day, you can only do it an hour a day, 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, whatever.
Yeah.
So my family is it's kind of inherently musical on my mom's side. My Uncle Jay is a professional musician in Fort McMurray, and a really good photographer. My grandfather played guitar. So music's like, it's always been like a casual, kind of professional thing. Mm. So music's, it's been around, but I never took it seriously. And then one day I'm like, hey, guitar. just pick it up and learn a couple chords, and I found like that dopamine rush and that serotonin boost, and like, oh hey, this is, I like this. And then it just kind of snowballed from there, and then I, you know, had the thought of, hey, if I do this and I don't have to have a day job, and then I realized I'm working 10 times harder than just having a day job.
Yeah, facts. Yeah, the pursuit is definitely a lot more than just the 9-to-5, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So have you have a 9-to-5, or you've worked a 9-to-5, or you're trying your best not to get into that world?
So I make my money in audio engineering right now, and audio teching. Okay. So I work for Brandon Bryson Audio Services, shout out.
Yeah.
So I work with a lot of local bands, and I just do their sound. Cool. I just came back this weekend. I did Crosswind at EVP. Crazy weekend. Oilers won, so everyone was hyped up. Saturday night was crazy. I mean, EVP is always bumping. That place is crazy. It gets sweaty in there.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I do sound. Sometimes I fly up to Fort Chip and we do events up there. So we bring speakers and that kind of thing.
Cool.
I work with Jerry Neville a lot. Most recently we did a figure skating thing, like a gala.
Okay.
And that was really fun because first time I got set lights up on ice, and that was fun.
Cool, man. Very cool. But listen, Tanner tapped his watch. That means we're out of time.
Oh, sure.
Before we cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug.
Yeah.
So you got the mic, the camera, the lights.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Hey, everyone. Listen to Music Makes Sense on the Story Hive YouTube channel or on Telus Optic.
There we go. Well, for McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope you're having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.